The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, Franklin Communications, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 459-9769. That's 459-WSNY to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but We're Too Numb to Ask. Hello, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Thank you for joining me here today. I think we're going to have a great show. What we're going to be talking about today is National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day, which is October 29th, and in the studio with me is Anthony C. Murata, the Assistant Special Agent in Charge of the Columbus District Office, Detroit Field Division of the Drug Enforcement Administration. Before we bring Mr. Murata on the line, let me just go ahead and just mention a few things. One thing is, this is my 199th episode, something that I'm very proud of, and I'm working really hard behind the scenes to have a special guest on the show next week, October 30th. I had hoped that I would have something to announce today, but I don't. Sorry about that. It'll just have to be a surprise to all of us who we have on the show next week. All right. You can also remember that you can access podcasts of the show by going to dentallyspeaking.com, iTunes, or sunny95.com. And if you're traveling and you'd like to hear the show live, just go to sunny95.com and click Listen Live. It's that simple. Okay, let me tell you a little bit about Mr. Anthony C. Murata. He began his career with the United States Drug Enforcement Administration in February of 1985 as a special agent in the Long Island, New York District Office. And when he comes on, when he starts to talk, you're going to realize he still sounds like he's from Long Island. But anyway, in September of 1985, he was assigned to the Miami Field Division in the Clandestine Laboratory Group. In June of 91, he was assigned to the Quantico, Virginia, or rather Quantico, Virginia, as an agent instructor in the DEA Office of Training and was in the Asset Forfeiture Subunit. In June of 96, he was promoted to a supervisory special agent as the Enforcement Group Supervisor in the St. Louis Field Division. And for each year during his tenure there, his group led the St. Louis Division in the number of federal arrests affected and assets seized. He was transferred to the DEA headquarters in July of 2000 as a unit chief of the Operations Budget Section, known as OMBB. And as unit chief of OMBB, he was responsible for all budgetary matters involving OC and domestic field offices. I'm going to have to ask him what OC stands for. In fact, tell me, Tony, what's that stand for, OC?
Chief of Operations.
Oh, Operations Chief. It's backwards, right?
Yes.
Got it. I meant to ask you that before we went on the air. In April 2000, promoted to the section chief of the Operations Budget Section, which is the OMB. And as the section chief of OMB, he was responsible for planning, formulation, and execution of the $200 million Operations Division budget. That's a lot of money. In April of 2003, he was transferred to the DEA Detroit Field Division Columbus office as the assistant special agent in charge. And here he has the oversight responsibility for the 5 resident offices in Ohio, Dayton, Columbus, Toledo, Cleveland, and Youngstown. And in addition to that, his duties at DEA, he is currently a member of the Northern Ohio Executive High Density Drug Trafficking Area Board and is chairman of the Southern Ohio Advisory Board. He holds a BA and an MBA from New York's Adelphi University, a recipient of many awards due to his attention to duty, including the DEA Administrator's Award, and he is married and has 3 children. The children we were talking about a little bit before we went on the air. So, Mr. Murata, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Doctor, and thank you from the Drug Enforcement Administration.
Hey, you're welcome. I think this is a pretty neat plan, and I didn't realize that it had been going on. How long has this been going on? I know you said that this year, in the first 6 months, you collected how many tons of pills? Or how many thousand pounds was it? 21?
Approximately 21,000 pounds of pills. This is our third national take-back.
Third, okay. And was that nationally, that 21,000, or in Ohio?
No, this was strictly in Ohio.
Wow. Does anybody know how much a pill weighs? We think it might weigh a gram or something. It might take a bunch of those just to be an ounce, which would be in an envelope, one stamp. So that's a lot of pills. Well, tell me how this came about.
Right now, we're experiencing a phenomenon of prescription drugs being abused. And with the abuse of prescription drugs, we're finding then people turning to the abuse of heroin. And it's these prescription drugs are turning into a gateway drug into harder narcotics.
Okay, so they get, in fact, I read a little blurb here. It said that, let's see, the numbers are, and listen carefully, more than 7 million Americans currently abuse prescription drugs. That's according to a 2009 Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration's national survey on drug use and health. And each day, approximately 2,500 teens use prescription drugs to get high for the first time. And that's according to the Partnership for a Drug-Free America. So that's what you mean when you say gateway. 2,500 teens each day are checking out drugs.
Absolutely. Sometimes people think that just doing drugs is snorting cocaine, shooting heroin, smoking marijuana. We're a society that we take a pill for everything. You watch TV, every other ad is somebody taking a pill. So unfortunately, young people see their parents taking pills for everything, and they don't see the harm in it.
Well, and when they check them out, they're checking them out from the home medicine cabinet, right?
Absolutely. That's how it dovetails into this national.
Kind of like the library, but they never return them.
Absolutely. With deadly consequences.
Exactly. Now, you know, how will the drugs be that you collect, how will they be disposed of? Are they going to be, like, put into concrete blocks and buried? Are they going to be incinerated? How do you do that?
At these, DEA collects at all these sites these pills. People could go on www.dea.gov to find the location near them. They will dispose of the pills, just pills, no liquids, not the plastic. They will be dumped in a container anonymously, and then the pills will be ultimately incinerated.
Now, why not liquids? Because cough medicine, of course, has codeine in it.
With the national take-back with DEA, we take just the pills because the liquids, the contractors we deal with who dispose of these liquids, cause explosions in these incinerators, which cause harm to the machines. And if they do, then DEA's liable and we have to pay to fix it.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that, I went to that website that you just mentioned, and I know that in town here, and by the way, this is next Saturday, and it's 10 to 2, right?
That's correct.
10 to 2. People can take their drugs to Mount Carmel East Hospital, which is 5969 East Broad Street. They can go to Mount Carmel West Hospital, the west entrance on Souder Avenue, and that's 793 West State Street. They can go to the Kroger at Worthington Mall, 60 Worthington Mall.
That's correct.
That's being run by Franklin County Sheriff's Office.
Yes, sir.
And then I think I found one more in Franklin County, and you can correct me if I've missed any, but Mount Carmel St. Anne's Hospital, their medical office building, 477 Cooper Road in Westerville. So I found four sites. Is that pretty complete?
No, there's quite a few more.
There's more?
And if people want to know where they are, mm-hmm. they could either go on the website, and if they don't have a computer, if you're an older person, you don't have a computer, this and that, they could call their local police department, who are our partners in this, and
okay.
find out if they're a participant and where's the closest location they could drop their pills off.
Okay, so just call the non-emergency police number and say, where can I drop off some of these pills I don't want anymore?
Yes, mention the national take back, and then they'll be told what to do.
And people can dispose of, is it just the narcotics, or if they have some leftover antibiotics, some leftover, I don't know, anything, Depakote, or just make up a name, erythromycin, can they just bring any pill and drop it in?
Absolutely, totally anonymous. Just drive up to a location, open up the plastic container, dump the pills in, and proceed on your merry way.
Okay. And that leads me to another question that I was thinking about, and that is, if I'm a parent and I have found a stash of drugs, maybe I found a bag of marijuana or I found a rock of cocaine, what I think is a rock of cocaine, in my child's dresser drawer or hidden, can I return those without worrying about prosecution? I don't know. How does that work?
Usually all police departments, a parent is, let's say, for example, putting away laundry for their child, and they open up a drawer, and there's a little bag of marijuana cigarettes. call the police department or go down there. Just say, I want to drop this off. I found this. I found these items. And that's that.
So you're saying they don't have to wait for a drug take-back day to do that?
Exactly. All law enforcement want to get drugs off the street. And then that would go into where the parent would have to sit down with their child and find just what's going on in that child's life. They got to be involved because all these drugs are stepping stone to harder narcotics that could lead to decisions that the child makes that has life-altering consequences.
Okay. Now, you're able to stick with us, right?
Sure.
Okay. Because it's time for Dr. Kvitko's question of the day. But before we give the question, we need people to listen to this.
Sunny 95 will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kvitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. Sunny 95 cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kvitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
And now it's time for Dr. Kvitko's question of the day.
And the question is, over 7 million Americans currently abuse drugs, prescription drugs, and each day 2,500 teens use prescription drugs to get high for the first time. Is it true or false? What am I trying to say? I have no idea. Anyway, true or false, over 7 million Americans currently abuse prescription drugs, and each day 2,500 teens use prescription drugs to get high for the very first time. The winner receives free flowers from Vistember Florist delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon, and the phone number is 459-9769. That's 459-WSNY. Call now.
Dentally Speaking is his talk show. Dr. Kvitko, let's go!
Looking for that perfect gift? Different that your friends will love? Moxie's in Clintonville has just what you're looking for. Moxie specializes in entertainment barware, dishware, and linens, both new and vintage. They carry Fiesta, Hearthstone, and signature products. Moxie's also has the ideal host or hostess gifts. Wrap candies, including wax lips, bubblegum cigars, ring pops, and charm bracelets and necklaces. If you have no room to entertain, no problem. Moxie's has the room for you to host. The soiree room features black and white striped floors, Hollywood-style seating, and a private outdoor deck. It's great for your next book or card gathering, birthday, or bridal shower. So when you're looking for a place to host some friends or looking for that perfect gift, go to Moxie's in Clintonville. Moxie's, 3339 North High Street, open Tuesday through Saturday. For more information and hours, call 657-6854, 657-6854.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Have you always wanted a smile makeover but didn't know where to go? Here at Dr. Kvitko & Associates, we have thousands of happy patients. Stop in and see our before and after pictures. Call us at
262-9588. Dr. Kvitko & Associates.
I've been spending way too long checking my tongue in the mirror and bending over backwards just to try to see it clearer. But my breath fogged up the glass, and so I drew a new face and I laughed.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we have Debbie on the line who has called in with our question of the day. Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Debbie, what do you do? I'm just curious.
I own a thrift store in Lancaster called Fairfield Outlet Center.
Oh, okay. We got a free plug. How about that? Fairfield Outlet Center.
Thank you.
Well, hey, thank you for listening and thank you for calling in. What's your guess?
It was true.
It is true. Isn't that amazing, those numbers?
It's really sad, but yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, hang on because my producer's going to get your contact information so we can get you the flowers, okay?
Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. Stay on there. All right, so, Mr. Murata, again, thank you for being with me in the studio here. It's so nice of you to get up in the morning, and although I imagine your job's probably required you be up kind of late, because don't the drug dealers kind of sleep during the day and they get active at nighttime?
Absolutely. Sometimes you don't get to go to sleep.
Oh, boy. That's quite a job. Now, I am curious. Toledo, Dayton, Columbus, Cleveland. Why not Cincinnati? Why is that not under your purview?
I have a section of Cincinnati, but not the city. Just the way the divisions split up, that's Cincinnati's handled by the Kentucky office.
It's not that they're that much more behaved than the rest of the state.
Not by a long shot.
Okay. Now, let's see here. I wanted to find out, let's face it, prescription drugs, they're not cheap. And we hear stories of how elderly folks cut their pills in half to stretch them, and even worse, of people who go without their medicine, you know, because they can't afford to buy them. Has there been any discussion about the notion of donating the drugs that are taken back to either low-income folks in this country or even delivering them to needy folks in poorer nations?
No, and the reason why is when you receive these drugs and you split these, you have to, number one, sort them, but you don't know if these pills have been adulterated in any way, which would cause a liability situation. So if somebody thinks they're taking a penicillin and somebody did something to it and that person gets sick or die, you know, you have a problem. So that's why we destroy these.
Okay. I mean, I understand that, and I agree with it. It's just still kind of sad that there's not a way that these can be put to use for the people that just can't afford them. But definitely understand why, and that's kind of what I suspected. But now, what's the biggest drug threat facing Ohio right now?
It's the prescription drugs. It's the abuse of the oxycodones.
Really? So it's not marijuana, it's not heroin, it's not cocaine, it's prescription drugs?
Unfortunately, you have the, because the appeal is across the board with the prescription drugs.
Okay.
It's a meteoric rise where people are abusing these oxycodones, which is dovetailing into heroin because it's a cost. The abuse of, let's say, the Oxy 30s, 30 milligram tablets going to cost somebody $30. Now, if you're eating 5 of those a day or 10 of those a day, you're running into a huge cost. How is somebody going to fund this? So
right.
Unfortunately, when they're at this level, they're usually injecting the oxycodone right in there. So to make the transition to heroin, which is only approximately $20 for a small balloon, and you're getting the same high or even higher, you now open up the markets for people bringing up black tar heroin or brown heroin from the southwest border, which comes here, and people now are using that. So then they run out of money, and now you have assaults, robberies, which brings in social services, and it's a drain on the economy. So the one who's left footing the bill are us in our taxes.
Right. Break-ins, stealing GPS devices.
Absolutely. What about diseases, sharing in needles again, which causes the rise in AIDS?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, who do you think is responsible for the increase in this pharmaceutical drug abuse? Because, you know I'm a dentist, and when I extract a tooth or I do a root canal, I feel an obligation to provide pain control for my patients. I'm all about comfort, patient comfort before, during, and after a visit. So I have to, I mean, obviously I know now that not all the pills I'm prescribing are being taken by the person that they were prescribed for, and yet I don't have a magic recipe for just how many pills it's going to take for this one individual's pain. So, I mean, is it the practitioners like myself, or is it lack parenting? Is it, what would you say?
I think it's a combination of everything. You see, doctors do their due diligence, hopefully, and then you have somebody, depending on the injury, who are taking the pills, and then they need pain management. They don't get off this, and before you know it, they come back to the same doctor for more pain medicine. The doctor says you've had enough, cuts them off, and now you have people going around doctor shop. And then they
right.
deal with a pharmacy who is filling these prescriptions. And what we have in southern Ohio, all through Ohio and the country, unfortunately, are pharmacies which are called pill mills,
right.
where they just fill these prescriptions, no questions asked. They have the legal prescription, and they fill it. It's not the type of pharmacy where you could go in and buy deodorant and breath mints.
Really?
You just go into this thing. Usually it's a... you walk in, and they have a plexiglass front where you just slide a prescription under the glass.
I didn't know this existed.
Oh, absolutely. They're called pill mills, and then they just fill.
Huh. Okay. See, I'm picturing, you know, CVS, Meijer, Walgreens. That's not what we're talking about here.
No, you get the CVS and the Walgreens who fill prescriptions, and then their pharmacists see a pattern on what's going on. And you get the pharmacists and doctors. They all take an oath. And what happens? The pharmacist at a CVS, Walgreens, and others will call a doctor and say, I am noticing that you're filling a prescription. This person has received 100 Oxy-80s or 100 Oxy-30s three or four times.
Right.
What's going on here?
Well, and I've actually received a call where somebody called me, a pharmacist called. I just extracted a tooth, wrote a prescription. I get a call from the pharmacist that said, did you know this person received 20 of these tablets yesterday from another doctor? And of course, I did not know that. And now we have what's called the Ohio Automated Rx Reporting System, or ORS for short, and I am signed up, and I do profiles on patients that I suspect either they were using too many drugs before I met them, or they might be asking for more than it feels right to me. And not only that, but now, thanks to the legislation that's been passed of late, to deal with the pill mills, I have to, if I decide that I'm going to hand, like I did a free dentistry event called Dentistry from the Heart.
Right.
And a lot of these people are poor. They came from all different, you know, zip codes, and we were doing free work. And I thought, well, let me make sure they have the proper pain control, because I don't want to be doing this work and sending them out the door with no pain control. So next year when we do it, I now know that I have to report every pill that I've given to each individual. I'm going to have another volunteer to just report. And I actually have to do a report every week, a zero report. If I don't report every week, then I'm probably in trouble. I don't know. Maybe you'll come knocking on my door. But there are a lot of things in place that are there to help. Makes more work for me.
The DEA doesn't want to stop people. They don't want people to suffer and in pain. They don't want to prevent doctors from prescribing pain medication. That's not this about. We want to prevent the abuse by healthcare professionals.
Right.
On both sides of the coin. Because by the time the person is doctor shopping and bringing their prescription to pill mills, unfortunately, they turned into full-blown junkies, and they need these pills. And we're not talking about somebody who you see in a doorway of a cheap movie. We're talking doctors, lawyers, mothers, housewives, where it's very easy. People get hurt. They can't deal with the pain. They keep getting prescription. Before you know it, they're addicted.
All right. You know what? I've got many, many more questions. What's the feds doing about it? How's prescription drug abuse linked to heroin? Who's bringing the heroin into Central Ohio? Things like that. But we do need to go to a break. So hang with us, and we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Olympic snowboarder Louis Vito, and make sure you stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, this is Richard Simmons. Do you listen to Dentally Speaking?
Well,
you should. Dr. Kvitko's here, and he's going to help you with all of your problems. Are your teeth yellow? He can fix that. Are you missing a tooth? He can put a new one in. How is that?
That's very good. Thank you, Richard.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Are your teeth crooked, and while you would like them straight, there's no way you would wear braces for 2 years? What if I told you we could straighten your teeth in 6 months between now and your next cleaning? Would you be interested? Call us, 262-9588.
Dr. Kvitko and Associates.
Canton City Chinese Restaurant is an established, family-owned and operated Chinese restaurant. You can come and sit down and enjoy the relaxed atmosphere of the Canton City, or if you're on the go or need lunch for your office or dinner for home, call us at 614-261-0262 to order takeout. We have a variety of Cantonese, Hunan, and Sichuan cuisine. You will love the price and be astonished how generous the portions are. Come visit us in our fantastic location at 4330 North High Street, located just south of Henderson in Clintonville. We are open 7 days a week. If you cannot pick from our extensive menu, we would suggest you start with our General Tso chicken. It is the best in the city. When you are craving Chinese food and have tried all the rest, come and order from the best, Canton City Chinese Restaurant in Clintonville. Call us at 614-261-0262 or stop by and see us at 4330 North High Street.
I say, hey, I'll be
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. We're here with Mr. Murata. He is the head of the DEA local office, Columbus, and is in charge of Toledo, Cleveland, Youngstown, Columbus, and Dayton. And so, Mr. Murata, what's the federal government doing about this issue? I mean, it's a big problem, but what are you guys doing?
What DEA is, we invested time and money, and we're starting tactical diversion squads. We're starting one in Columbus and one in Cleveland. And what these squads are made up of is a DEA group supervisor, a diversion agent, three agents, and about 6 to 8 local task force officers. And what their only mission is the working pill cases.
Working pill cases. So they track the drugs that people are getting. Like they work with the pharmacist, I assume, the database that I mentioned, ORS, and...
Absolutely. And okay. What they're doing is they go after these pill mills and after these doctors who just write these prescriptions, and also people who are trafficking in these pills, because you have people flying down to Florida getting these prescriptions filled. They'll get 5 or 6 people. They'll fly back. An organization will. They'll have 5 people filling up prescriptions. They'll fly back to Central Ohio, and then they deposit them to one individual who then illegally starts to dispense these, and thus goes the cycle of drug addiction.
Okay. Well, so that's good to know. So that you kind of work behind the scenes, and people wouldn't know that they're being monitored until they're caught.
Absolutely.
Okay. And it seems like people always get caught. I don't know why crooks are crooks, because they always get caught. I mean, I guess they get away with it for a while, but then you wind
up... It's a crime of greed.
Okay.
People do this for their own addiction sometimes, but people sell drugs. It's a crime of greed.
Now, you said they bring them in from Florida. Who's bringing the drugs in? Is it cartels from Mexico? Who is it?
Well, you have cartels, but you also have local criminal organizations, let's say that are based here in Columbus, that they get a group of individuals, they go down to Florida to a sympathetic doctor with a make-believe injury, doctor charges exorbitant rates, he then fills a prescription, let's say for Oxy-30s, he gives them a prescription for 50 or 100, they'll have 5 or 6 people who will fly down together, they come back and then they give it to their kingpin,
okay,
who collects all the drugs, and then he dispenses it illegally and makes money.
I see. So, and I think if I remember right, Florida does not yet have a law like we do in Ohio, where we have the computer system that's all tied together, right?
That's correct. Thus, you have people going down to a sympathetic state, and that's why Florida's working to get some of their laws changed and enacted.
Yeah. Now, who's abusing the drugs? You said it was moms, dads, everybody.
Everybody across the board.
And so why is this pill take-back initiative so important then?
Because it's showing the public that, number one, we have a problem with this. And it's getting the prescriptions that aren't used out of the house, out of the medicine cabinet. Grant somebody has cancer, a lot of times the person unfortunately passes away, and now you're stuck with all these narcotics. And people go in there, kids sometimes, adults, whatever, they start taking the medication that's not meant for them. So what we want people are to clean out their medicine cabinet.
Now, when people bring the drugs, do they have to be in their original container when they bring them to the take-back sites?
They could be in their original container, or they could just put them in a paper bag and just go right up to the site, the container, and they pour the pills into it.
Okay, so if you want to be anonymous, if you're a little nervous about this, you don't want people questioning how you came up with the drugs, put them in a paper bag, go to one of those sites, and just pour them in.
There's no questions asked. We don't want it. We're not collecting the plastic vials that all have all the information.
Mm-hmm.
Just want you to go up. If they're in the original container, take the top off, pour the pills into the box.
Okay.
If not, just put them in a bag and dump them out and continue on your way.
Okay. And we gave a website. And what was the phone number if somebody just wants to use the old-fashioned way and call? I mean, I have the number here that was given on the website. Should I give that one out over the air?
Yeah, that would get that, or they could call their local police department.
That would be
find
best.
Out. Exactly.
Because they all know. All the police
exactly.
Departments know.
If they're not participating, they'll give somebody a location of somebody who is.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, we're out of time. Thank you so much for coming and being on my show today. I really appreciate it. Gives us all a little bit of insight as to what, you know, is really going on out there. You've been listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and with any luck, I will have a major guest next Sunday because that is my 200th episode. Take care, have a good week, and meet back here 8:30 next Sunday. Good.
Be sure and tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kvitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full half-hour episodes of Dr. Kvitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kvitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.